Chapter 1. Ellery. Friday, August 30th. If I believed in omens, this would be a bad one. There's only one suitcase left on the baggage carousel. It's bright pink, covered with Hello Kitty stickers, and definitely not mine. My brother, Ezra, watches it pass us for the fourth time, leaning on the handle of his own oversized suitcase. The crowd around the carousel is nearly gone, except for a couple arguing about who was supposed to keep track of their rental car reservation.
Maybe you should take it, Ezra suggests. Seems like whoever owns it wasn't on our flight, and I bet they have an interesting wardrobe. A lot of polka dots, probably. And glitter.
His phone chimes, and he pulls it out of his pocket.
Nana's outside.
I can't believe this, I mutter, kicking the toe of my sneaker against the carousel's metal side. My entire life was in that suitcase. It's a slight exaggeration. My actual entire life was in La Puente, California, until about 8 hours ago. Other than a few boxes shipped to Vermont last week, the suitcase contains what's left.
I guess we should report it.
Ezra scans the baggage claim area, running a hand over his close-cropped hair. He used to have thick, dark curls like mine, hanging in his eyes, and I still can't get used to the cut he got over the summer. He tilts his suitcase and pivots toward the information desk.
Over here, probably.
The skinny guy behind the desk looks like he could still be in high school, with a rash of red pimples dotting his cheeks and jawline. A gold name tag pinned crookedly to his blue vest reads, Andy. Andy's thin lips twist when I tell him about my suitcase, and he cranes his neck toward the Hello Kitty bag still making carousel laps.
Flight 5624 from Los Angeles? With a layover in Charlotte?
I nod.
You sure that's not yours?
Positive.
Bummer. It'll turn up, though. You just gotta fill this out.
He yanks open a drawer and pulls out a form, sliding it toward me.
There's a pin around here somewhere, he mutters,
pawing half-heartedly through a stack of papers. I have one. I unzip the front of my backpack, pulling out a book that I place on the counter while I feel around for a pen. Ezra raises his brows when he sees the battered hardcover.
Really, Ellery? He asks. You brought in cold blood on the plane? Why didn't you just ship it with the rest of your books?
It's valuable, I say defensively. Ezra rolls his eyes.
You know that's not Truman Capote's actual signature. Sadie got fleeced.
Whatever. It's the thought that counts, I mutter. Our mother bought me the signed first edition off eBay after she landed a role as Dead Body Number 2 on Law & Order 4 years ago. She gave Ezra a Sex Pistols album cover with a Sid Vicious autograph that was probably just as forged. We should have gotten a car with reliable brakes instead, but Sadie's never been great at long-term planning. Anyway, you know what they say. Win in Murderland. I finally extract a pen and start scratching my name across the form.
You headed for Echo Ridge, then? Andy asks.
I pause on the second C of my last name, and he adds,
They don't call it that anymore, you know. And you're early. It doesn't open for another week.
I know. I didn't mean the theme park. I meant the... I trail off before saying town and shove in cold blood into my bag. Never mind, I say, returning my attention to the form. How long does it usually take to get your stuff back?
It shouldn't be more than a day.
Andy's eyes drift between Ezra and me.
You guys look a lot alike. You twins?
I nod and keep writing. Ezra, ever polite, answers.
We are. I was supposed to be a twin, Andy says. The other one got absorbed in the womb, though.
Ezra lets out a surprised little snort, and I bite back a laugh. This happens to my brother all the time. People overshare the strangest things with him. We might have almost the same face,